I'm sure some of y'all saw Brother Buddy whisper in my ear just now. He suggested that I ought to test your love by preaching until about 1 o'clock. So we're going to take that. We're going to take that and see whether you really do love me and this church. I'm just kidding. I promise you. I'm kidding. what an appropriate sermon that we've just heard for a day like this. Let me just say that my heart is full this morning.
Amen.
As Brother Buddy said, Brother Tim and I grew up in Meta Branch, just 20 miles or so from here, an independent Baptist church where we heard the truth of God's grace. And I know we had sweet fellowship with this church here when we were among the independent Baptists, where I know you heard the truth of grace. And when the Lord, it became evident that the Lord was leading me to Zion Church, a primitive Baptist church, the only hesitancy, let me say it that way, that I had was the fear of losing the fellowship of those among whom I had grown up, yeah, that I knew were sweet friends and believed the same sweet truths. And over time, God has, we didn't lose that fellowship in a very real sense, but now God has brought us back together in a very real way.
Amen. Yeah.
And my heart is full. I see as I stand here this morning, I was actually preaching here on the morning that Brother Garnett passed away. I can remember that clearly, getting that message as we left from the church here some 12, 13 years ago. I don't remember how long now. And that dear brother meant a lot to me. He still does mean a lot to me. And Brother Rushing and others that I can name, I won't go into it. But I say all that to say that that love that Brother Tim preached about has been evident here at this church for many years. And I hope one of the things that Brother Buddy's mentioned already is that this, what I found among the primitive Baptists is what you see here today, which is a sweet fellowship among others of like faith and order, other churches out there that come and support. And I'm so thankful to each of you who are here today, yes, to do that for Blooming Grove Church.
Amen.
And thankful for those that are here to be part of this day. I also want to say this. Brother Tim said that it's amazing how the Lord works, okay? I've been where Brother Tim has been, where I couldn't figure out what the Lord wanted me to preach on until almost the last minute. I mean, I've had my mind changed from the pew to the pulpit, as a matter of fact.
Yeah.
And that happens sometimes. And but I will say that if I'm not deceived, I've had this particular subject on my mind for some time, not since the beginning of when Brother Buddy asked me to come and be part of this, but for the last several weeks, I've had this on my mind. So we'll see. The Lord can work both ways. He can work by giving you a sermon where you just know that's it, and He can work by, I've started out preaching up here not really knowing what I was going to preach. So, and Brother Tim, it's clearly the Lord was with you there. So pray that the Lord will be with me. In the parables that we find in Matthew chapter 13, there are seven what we call kingdom parables there. You know, it starts off with the parable of the sower and the seed, which is not, by the way, which is not, let me emphasize, which is not a parable that tells us who is or is not a child of God.
Right.
Okay?
Amen.
If the Lord wanted us to know who was or was not a child of God, He, as the parable giver, would have told us. The fact of the matter is, He's teaching us about children of God and in the various ways in which they hear the gospel and the various situations we find them in. All four of those categories, I believe, are children of God.
Truth.
But that's not what I want to talk about, but that's what it begins with. And we go through several parables. These seven parables are all about the kingdom of God. Now, let me stop and say, He's not talking about the kingdom of God in heaven.
Right.
You know, there's no parable needed for the kingdom of God in heaven. As Brother Tim said, we're going to be in perfect harmony. We're not going to have to figure anything out up there. We're going to know. We're going to know as we're known. We're going to be in perfect harmony with one another. But here in these kingdom parables, He's teaching us about what we're doing here today, the kingdom of God here on earth. which is the church of the living God. Now, I understand the kingdom of God in some, in other sense, it's a huge subject. In one sense, it's every elect child of God everywhere. In one sense, it is heaven. But in the sense that is being talked about here today, he's talking about that visible aspect of the kingdom of God,
right,
which is the local church, right, the local churches that come together and meet on a regular basis. And there's one parable here that I keep coming back to and has kept... I am a living example of the parable that's found beginning in verse 44. It's one verse. It says, again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. I want to preach to you, the Lord being my helper this morning, on the treasure that we have in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
The treasure here that he's talking about that's hid in the field. Remember, the kingdom of God here that we're talking about is that visible aspect of the kingdom of God, which is the true church of God, wherever it's found. And he says in here that the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field. There is a treasure in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
That word treasure there literally means, it doesn't mean just a little gem or a little handful of gold here and there. It means a storehouse, a treasury. Think about Fort Knox and then multiply it exponentially and you'll never get close to the treasure that we have in the kingdom of God.
Amen.
And he compares the church kingdom to this kind of storehouse. Beloved, let me just say this. Maybe we'll come back to it, maybe not, but I want to say it now before we go any farther. Look around you this morning.
Yeah.
Look around and understand what we have. You know, every Sunday is a wonderful Sunday. It ought to be, at least. We ought to be praying every Sunday morning for the Lord to show up and to have a spiritual experience and be taken up the spiritual mountain. But when we have meetings like this, it's even more evident. I felt the Spirit of the Lord already this morning. I felt Him, and I see Him in your smiling faces. What a blessing it is to look around and say, I see the treasure. This is part of the treasure that we have in the kingdom of God.
Right.
But notice something. It says it was hidden in a field. It was hidden in a field. Well, first of all, the interesting thing that we see here, if we kind of decipher what's being said here, it says the man found it in a field. He wasn't looking for it.
Right.
He wasn't looking for that word. It says, which a man hath found. That if you go back and parse out the Greek word there that's translated hath found, it literally means to come upon or to hit upon something.
Right.
It carries the connotation of happenstance from the man's perspective.
Right.
It's the idea of this man just walking through a field and he kind of stumbles across the treasure.
Right.
I said before, I'm living example of this, beloved. I'll be honest with you. I confess to you, when I went to Zion Primitive Baptist Church, when Tim and Aunt Lorraine concocted this little plan that they had, I thought, I'm going to go support it. I'm going to go see what's happening there. But this little dying, nearly dead church, you know, there's no way, you know, that anything could happen there. And I just, you know what happened to me, Brother Philip? I stumbled across a treasure. I stumbled across a treasure. I was actually going somewhere else. I was planning to go somewhere else, but I couldn't get the treasure off my mind. I was looking in another field. And then the treasure, I stumbled across it. But notice that's what happens, is it not? I mean, look, I understand you may be raised in church, and there's some of us that have been blessed to be raised on the preaching of the true gospel. I get that. But this is the way it works. Until the Lord quickens your heart, you're not looking for any kind of treasure like this.
Right.
Brother Tim, this morning I was listening to Grace Alone, his sermon on Grace Alone radio, and he went to Isaiah 65 verse 1 where he says, I was found of them that sought me not. I'm sought of them that asked not after me. Beloved, that's the way it works. That's the way it worked for this man. You know, we're told in the book of Romans pretty clearly, as it is written, they said, there is none righteous, no, not one. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God.
Right.
So first of all, we have to be quickened and made alive before we're even interested in the things that we might stumble across in this field out here in the world.
Amen.
Jesus said in John 6:44, no man can come unto me except the Father which has sent me draw him. But notice here, he says, the man, he wasn't seeking it. but he hath found it. Does that remind you of a little Moabite woman that we read about over in the book of Ruth? Little precious child of God named Ruth.
Yes.
We're told that after she came back from the land of Moab into the Bethlehem, which means house of bread. That's a whole other message there. But old Elimelech said, you know, there's a famine here, so I'm going to leave Bethlehem, the house of bread, and go to Moab. that doesn't click too well, does it? But he did it, and that's what happened. And the Lord, through his great providential love and care for us, overruled his bad decision.
Yeah.
And he came back. When Naomi came back, she brought Ruth. And we're told that she came back to Israel. She came back to go glean in the field as they were allowed to do, as the poor of the land were allowed to do. And it says her hap was to light on a part of the field belonging unto Boaz, who was one of the kindred of Elimelech. Mm-hmm. Now, I have to read that. Every time I read that, I have to point this out. I've always been convinced that the Lord has a sense of humor.
Yes,
I have been.
No doubt.
And I think every time I read that, and the Lord knows I'm reading, he kind of grins up there, because her hap was to light upon this field.
Right.
But we know the providence of God led her there, right?
Amen.
But now listen, from our standpoint, you know, time and chance happens to all. From her standpoint, it was just by happenstance. You know, Saul of Tarsus was not going to Damascus to find Jesus.
Right.
He was not going to Damascus looking for Christ.
Right.
He was looking for Jesus' followers to call them into court and to have them executed.
Right.
He, just like he stood by when they executed Stephen. And, oh, he was found.
Amen.
The
Lord. Amen.
There was one that said he had needs. He must needs go through Samaria. There's one that knew what was going to happen, but that little Samaritan woman had no idea what she was about to come across.
Amen.
She was about, she'd been used and abused by men, been married five times, was living with a man then, but oh, she was about to meet a man among men.
Amen.
The man, Christ Jesus.
Right.
He wasn't looking for it, but oh, he sure did find it.
Yes.
He sure did find it, didn't he? Notice it was hidden in this field. It's hidden in a field. Now, let me just say quickly, let's talk about the significance of the field. You know, in another parable, the field is likened unto the world. I don't believe that here it's talking about the world as a whole, but maybe a part of the world. But the Lord doesn't make that clear, so we don't need to know it. But this is what's clear. That it is here and now.
Right.
The treasure is here and now.
Yes.
The point of that field, of him saying the treasure is in the field, is that it's not something coming one day. It's not the sweet by and by that we're looking for. He has found the treasure in the nasty here and now.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
In this evil, broken world, it is here and now.
Right.
So it is, now listen, it is not eternal salvation that he's found.
Yeah.
We need to understand that. It's not eternal salvation that he has found. It is a now salvation. He must already have been born again in order to even see it. John chapter 3 says, if you haven't been born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. And that means, that doesn't mean you just physically with your eyes. It means in your mind you can't get it. You know, we would say today, you don't get it if you haven't been born again. But what he's saying is, what this treasure is a now salvation.
Amen.
It is in the world. It is not some unattainable, ephemeral, meditational concept. It is something tangible here in the world.
Amen.
And notice it's hidden in the field.
Right.
It's hidden in the field. Beloved, the church is the true church. It's hidden in the world.
Right.
It's hidden in the world. It's not seen or appreciated by natural men.
That's right.
You know, the Pharisees came to Jesus in Luke chapter 17 and demanded. Can you imagine demanding anything of Christ? But they just didn't get it either, you know. And they demanded of him when the kingdom should come. You know, later on the disciples are going to ask, when will the Jesus restore the kingdom to Israel? And he tells them then, he said, listen, quit worrying about that.
Right. Amen.
There's a kingdom now you need to be worried about.
Amen. Yeah.
But he told those Pharisees in Luke chapter 17, he said, the kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, lo here, lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you. In other words, it is not a open and visible thing. It's not something that naturally would appear to be significant to people in the world. See, the treasure of the gospel kingdom is not something that's obvious to a natural man. If people drive by here today going to the, you know, going fishing or going to do whatever they're going to be doing, they might look over here and say, boy, those people sure are foolish to be all, look at all those cars, all those fools there at this church on a beautiful Saturday when you could be doing something else. You know, there's a time when I probably would have thought that. There's a time when I had that same idea in my mind. But the world is not... It's not something that the world naturally seeks. They don't understand why this kingdom, this treasure is so prized by believers and why some people give up so much to gain what seems to be so little. You know, I got this vision of back in the days of the tabernacle. Can you imagine this, that you're just sort of a nomadic wanderer out there, and these people, the Jews, come passing through your area, and on Saturday or whatever day they have it, you see this big tent that they've got set up. And this tent is made up of badger skins. Now, you know, I've never actually skinned a badger, but I can't imagine a badger skin would be very pretty. You know, that's not selling at the top price on the market, I don't imagine. You know, beaver skins, I don't know. But these were badger skins, and it was covering this old tent that was out there. But you look down and you see hundreds of people smiling and maybe singing and just marching right into that tent. And you look at it and say, what in the world are they going into that ugly old tent for? Well, what they were doing is they were going into that tent because the beauty of the tabernacle was not seen from the outside. It was seen from the inside. You go inside and it's got the ornate decorations and the candelabras and all the things there that were so beautiful and covered with gold. Beloved, likewise, the beauty of the old Baptist church is not seen from the outside. It's seen from the inside. People say, what are you going down there for? I say, come and see. Come and see. Join us on this Saturday morning. Join us on Sunday morning. Join us on Sunday night or whenever we meet. Come. You know, that's the best evangelism we can do.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, I've talked to people about the doctrines of grace. I'm meeting with some people now pretty regularly about the doctrines of grace and talking to them about the things of the truths of God's saving sovereign grace. But, you know, ultimately what I tell them, I say, look, this is what the Lord says about it. This is the way the church is supposed to be. But look, hey, come and see. Come and see. Right. That's the best evangelism we could ever do.
Amen.
Come down here and see what it is that we have.
Right.
See, the treasure of the gospel, this treasure of the kingdom of God is seen from the inside.
Amen.
It's seen from the inside. It was hidden in the field.
Right.
Now notice something else. It was hidden in that field.
Right.
Notice it said he sold all he hath and bought that field.
Right.
It wasn't just any old field
that
he bought. That field, that word that field there, the word that modifies field, is a Greek word that means that very one. it's not just a general, okay, that over there, this over here. That it was that very field. Notice that the man who stumbled across the treasure, he didn't run off and try to plow him up a new field and build him a new treasure.
No, right.
He didn't go over to some other field and say, I'm going to compare this treasures over here to the treasure I've found over here and see what this field is all about. First of all, he hideth it. And I don't know all the implications of that, but I do recall times when I first began to see the early in life, when I first began to see the truths of God's grace, the true gospel of grace. You know, the first thing I did, I wanted to share it eventually, but it's like, man, can this be real?
Right.
Can this be true? Man,
yes.
I've got to study on this. You know, when I first started going to Zion Church over there, and I started thinking, you know, wait a minute, Lord, this can't be real. This can't be where you want me. You know, I hid it in my heart, and I began to ponder upon it. So I don't know if that's what he's talking about or what, but notice what he did. He felt like it was so important that he ought to study on it, that he ought to consider it. I believe the idea of hiding it in his heart. He didn't cover it up and hide it from the world. He just kind of hid it in his heart. Mm. You see, it was that field, that very, not just any old field. Remember in Ruth's day, we've already talked about her. She went to glean in Boaz's field. There were many fields in Israel in that day. Mm-hmm. And her hap, as we said, was to light upon the field of Boaz. And through the providence of God, of course, And it just happened that this, for her, was the field of all fields over there. The place. Because you know what Boaz told her? Just a few verses on down into the chapter. He said, Ruth, he said, go not to glean in another field.
Yeah.
Don't you go to, he said, neither go from hence. You abide here by my maidens. He said, don't go off into some of the fields of the world. Don't go over there to that other field. You stay right here in this very field. This is the field where you will be fed the most. Because you see, it's not just any old field that contains the treasure.
Right.
Listen, there are, you know, Boaz didn't tell her to go reap in some other field. He said, this very field.
Amen.
You go, you glean here in this field.
Yes.
The man here didn't sell all that he had and just go buy any field.
Right.
He bought this very field.
Amen.
Listen, beloved, I don't mean this critical in any way, but I have to point out the truth. But there, the treasure is not found in every church building in America. The treasure is not found. In fact, it's hidden in most church buildings in America. The treasure of the gospel, the treasure of the fellowship, the treasure of the kingdom is not found out in the world. But beloved, there was something special about this feast. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 18, he said, upon this rock will I build my church.
Right.
And the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What rock is he talking about? He's not talking about Peter, okay?
Yeah,
boy, if he was, we're in trouble, because it wasn't but a few days later, Peter, the rock of Peter crumbled.
Right.
He crumbled. He's cursing and denying it. But praise God, he built it upon the rock of the revelation that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God.
Amen.
He is the only Savior.
Amen.
He is the Savior. There is not another. He saved his people from their sins. That's the rock
Amen.
That it's built upon. That's the message of the true gospel.
Right.
And that is the message that we find in the treasure. Upon this rock I will build my church. He didn't build many churches. He built one church. And all of the ones that we know are true churches today have descended from that church that he built over there.
Yeah.
You know, there is a treasure.
Amen.
And there is a field. And I believe we found it here.
Amen.
I believe we're experiencing it here this morning.
Right.
You know, if you go further on down in the book of Ruth, you turn and read it sometime. If you hadn't read it lately, it's a beautiful story. Beautiful story of symbolic of the love and provision Christ has for his church, okay? After he had told her, don't go to any other field, she got back up to go glean. He turned to his young men. Boaz turned to his young men. He said, you let her glean even among the sheaves.
That's right.
That's right.
Now think about that for a minute. The sheaves are where it was already bound up.
Right.
They're not supposed to be. You're not supposed to be among the sheaves.
Right.
You're gleaning. You go to the over here.
Right.
But you leave them sheaves alone. He said, no, not in my field.
That's right.
In my field, in this field, you let this young lady glean among the sheaves, beloved. You can get the little gleanings over here. Pick a few of the grains up over here, and you can have some good eating on this. But boy, when you go to the sheaves and you glean, my goodness, what fine dining it is, beloved.
Yeah.
When we come to the kingdom of God, this treasure in the field, we can glean even among the sheaves.
Amen.
We're gleaning among the sheaves this morning. We're gleaning where God has bound up and brought his people together. We are gleaning among the sheaves
Amen.
This morning.
Amen.
And then he said something else. And I'm glad he said the rest of this as well.
Right.
He said, also, out there in the field, I want you to drop some handfuls of purpose.
Amen.
I don't know about you, but I need handfuls of purpose
Amen.
Sometimes.
Yeah.
This world is not my friend. This world is against me. I struggle in the world. I'm out there on a daily basis, and people are not loving one another like Brother Tim preached about. People are not loving me like they ought to. I'm not always loving them like I ought to, but God drops a few handfuls of purpose.
Right.
Man, I've been places in my... You know, some of you know that I have to campaign for the job that I do all over the state, and I've been places all over the state where I felt so alone. I felt so down that I'd be so much by myself, and then I'd get a phone call from somebody, some sweet old Baptist friend of mine, and they'd call and say, Brother Chris, how are you doing? And the handful of purpose came down again.
Amen.
It lifted me up, and I felt like I was gleaning among the sheaves.
Amen.
I'd go somewhere and I'd run into somebody that I'd attended church with, and I didn't know they were even in the area. And praise God, sometimes He just picks me up with those little handfuls of purpose.
Amen.
You don't get that in the fields of the world.
No, no.
You don't get that out there in the other fields. You only get that in Boaz's field.
Amen.
Our Boaz, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
That's right. See, that's what he told her. That's what this man understood. He stumbled across the treasure and he said, you know what? There's a field here. It's got a treasure in it and I can't find it anywhere else.
Amen.
You know what else? It was worth all that he had
Amen.
To get that field.
That's right.
It was worth, he said, he's for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath and buyeth that field.
Praise God.
Now look, we're not talking about buying eternal salvation.
Right.
That was purchased for us by Christ on Calvary.
Amen.
You don't have enough money. You won't have enough good works.
Right.
You don't have enough anything to buy your eternal salvation.
Amen.
But those that have been, for those for whom eternal salvation has been purchased, there is a treasure, but there's a price.
Yeah.
There's a price for this treasure.
Right.
That's why we're not, I've said before, we're not talking about eternal heaven here.
Right.
Luke 16, verse 16 says, the law and the prophets were until John. Since that time the kingdom of God is preached, and every man presseth into it.
Right.
That word presseth there means to use force or to inflict violence upon them.
Yeah,
okay? Now you can't fight your way into heaven.
Right.
You know, that the doors of heaven are, you don't have to storm the gates of heaven. Okay, so we're not talking about the kingdom of God in heaven. But we're talking about a here and now kingdom.
Amen. Yes.
This kingdom that we're in this morning.
Right.
Beloved, you have to press into it. There's a condition for being a part of this kingdom on earth. Mm. This man, it cost him everything he owned in the world.
Right.
Everything he owned in the world was not worth the price. It was not worth or even to be compared to the treasure.
Right.
The condition is that you prize the kingdom more than you prize anything else in this world.
Amen.
Right.
You know, we had to press into this kingdom. We have to press. And look, it's not, you don't have to run a gauntlet. The deacons aren't standing at the back trying to keep you out. You know, that's not what we're talking about. You know, everybody here at Blooming Grove Church wants you to be a part of it. Everybody at Zion Church wants you to be a part of it. You know, primarily what you're pressing against, you're pressing against the world.
Yeah.
You're primarily pressing against yourself.
Amen.
That's right. I had to press against myself. Beloved, for some of us, it was pressing in. It was prizing the kingdom more than the place that we had been. More than, maybe it was prizing the kingdom more than our previous baptism. Maybe it's prizing the kingdom more than the name on the sign at the church. Maybe it's prizing the kingdom more than the criticism of those that you care about out in the world. Maybe it's prizing the kingdom more than you care about your job. Maybe it's prizing the kingdom. Instead of taking that salary increase and moving somewhere where there is no church, you stay put where the kingdom of God is.
Yeah.
You know, young folks, let me just say this to you. Let me implore you. Don't make your decisions of, you know, those of you especially that are either young and newly married or not married yet and you're getting out of college and trying to decide where to go, don't make your decision based solely upon what kind of job it is and how much it pays.
Right.
You make your decision based upon, is there a church here that I can be a part of? Is the kingdom of God there? I know young men and young women that have moved far away from the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
Beloved, they may be making much money in this world, but it's costing them the treasure of the kingdom.
Amen.
You see,
right.
You need to make sure that you prize the kingdom above all else. And for all of us, it's denying ourselves and taking up our cross and following Christ.
Yes.
There is nothing on this earth that is worth more than the treasure that we have in the kingdom of God.
Right.
The church kingdom is worth more than all you'll ever have in this world.
Yes.
Amen.
You see, I've been to the place where the man, the people that Jesus was talking to were at. When he looked at them and said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. You know, when I've been laboring and heavy laden, it wasn't because I didn't have a good job. I had a good job. I was fairly secure in my finances at the times. But I can look back on times in my life. There have been times I've struggled, yes. But it seemed like in those times, the Lord was with me more. But there's been times of prosperity in my life where I felt the burden. I felt burdened down by the things of this world. Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He didn't say, "I'll give you eternal life." He's not talking to dead alien sinners,
right,
getting them to come down and do something to become children of God. He's talking to children of God who are struggling out in the world, the prodigal sons of this world.
Yes.
Listen, beloved, that prodigal son, he was struggling.
Right.
He was, you know, I have to be careful about this because I'm the I told you so guy, you know. I like to make my point. And by the way, he told that story, I know, about him wanting to say "I told you so" when he got to heaven, because he knew I was about to come behind him and preach, because he knew I was going to tell it. Anyway.
Yeah.
I've told it before, but he's told it before. He know, we both anyway. But I'm the "I told you so" guy. You know, don't you want to go down to the prodigal son and say, "Man, what are you thinking? I told you, if you did this, you'd do," you know? That's what I want to do. You know what? You know what the Lord did?
Yep.
He brought him to himself.
That's right. Yeah. Amen.
You know, that's why I know that's not a story about somebody going down into the pig pen and getting born again.
Right.
He was already born again.
Right. Yeah.
He was a child of God when he left his home.
Yeah.
That's about you, child of God.
Yeah.
And me. Mm-hmm. That we can get down to the pig pen of life. To the point, you know, we can sink so low as children of God that we lust after the husk of this world.
Right. Yeah.
Let me affirm to you with all sincerity and on the authority of the Word of God, the husks of this world will not feed you, child of God.
Amen. Amen.
The sheep can't live off pig food. Okay? Right. Sheep need sheep food. He came to himself and he came back.
Right.
See, the price for obtaining this treasure is that we sell all we have. We count all things but dung, as Paul said. Paul was in a position where he was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a Roman citizen. He had all kinds of opportunities, for advancement, for rising up in the hierarchy of the religious world, and he sold it all to buy the treasure.
Right.
Beloved, you, I believe, like me, have found treasure in the field. I believe we're seeing it here today. And I want to point out one last thing before we turn it back over to Brother Buddy. Notice that the man he had to buy the whole field.
Yeah.
Not just the treasure. Listen, I'd love to just buy the treasure. I just want the good of the kingdom, you know? I don't really want to be around you except when you're full of the Spirit. And let me promise you, you don't want to be around me when I'm not full of the Spirit, okay? I just want those days when we come together like this. I want these experiences. I want the time when we're loving one another and we're all in the will of God. But listen, in that field that he bought, there's weeds.
Right.
There's probably some stumps and some stump holes, potholes. There's things out there that aren't edifying, but it was worth it to him. Yes. I wish I could buy the treasure alone, but I can't. The field is full of sinners. Listen, you know, right. Somebody said one time that church would be great if it wasn't for the people. Yeah. I mean, think about it. Church would be perfect if it wasn't for all of us here, you know. But praise God, one day it's going to be perfect. But beloved, the treasure is here.
Yeah,
and that makes the field worth it.
Right.
Because it's not going to be perfect. There's going to be some things that you've got to lay down your life for.
Amen.
There's going to be some things you have to do to purchase this treasure that you may not want to do and you might not have to in a perfect world. But praise God, the treasure is here.
Yeah.
And that makes it worth it.
Amen.
May we never take this treasure that we've stumbled upon for granted. May we never take the treasure that God has led us to for granted. And may we all enjoy the treasure of the kingdom of God.